We're going to talk a little bit more about faith this morning, and what it takes to have faith. Some steps, or I don't know. I guess just if we're gonna jump in further than where we're at. All right. So that's always, you know, I was raised in church, so I, over the years, heard lots of good preaching, and so I know all those mental gymnastics that we can do to avoid preaching. You guys know what I'm talking about? Mental gymnastics to avoid the points that God's trying to get to us. And so what I want to talk about this morning is some things that we're going to have if we're going to go further for this year. The Bible talks about being forward a year ago. That's where I want to be. This is something that God worked in my heart. And so really, this message that I'm going to give you this morning is really the message that God gave me and was working in my heart as I was, as we put this little video together and I was looking at it going, man, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted putting the video together and thinking about, you know, the things that God's doing and you know, being excited for just some of those things. You know, thinking about the Bible college, you know, I have not completely, I don't have all the curriculum done that I want to have done. We've got 3 years worth of curriculum. In fact, we probably have 4 years worth of curriculum. But there's several more topics that I want, you know, notes and books in to be able to give to the guys. And there's every one of those ministries that you saw, there's more that has to be done. Not just more that needs to be done, but there's more that must be done, not only to maintain it, but to go forward with it. And so as I was looking at some of those things, I was trying to plan in my own head how I was going to move forward. And sometimes I'm accused of not being a planner, which is very much not true. I am definitely a planner. I just don't put it out for everybody to see all the time. And so I was formulating just a few weeks ago, kind of as we go back in January, or end of January, you know, we'll get the K through 12 started. Bible college will roll up a couple weeks after that. Get Trevor back in the print shop. Get some of those things. We've got some construction projects in towards the summer. We probably have a work crew coming to finish phase three of that building. And there's another building in March that there's some guys coming from Canada to build. A new girls' dormitory, and so the year is already full. There's not enough time to do what's already on the calendar. And so, the natural thing is to say, okay, how are we going to get all this done? So that's kind of what I was working on. And then God showed me a few things. I don't know about you, but I like it when God shows me things. I like it when God talks to me. I don't always like what he says, but I like it when he talks to me. And I like it when he shows me some stuff. So that's what I'm going to give to you, is kind of what God slapped me upside the head with. And so I don't want to slap you, but if God chooses to do that, then fantastic. But this is how he slapped me. So let's go to Jude. Let's go to the book of Jude. And we're just going to look at four things. And then I'm going to show you, at the very end, I'll show you some stuff that I've shown two other churches. And quite honestly, I don't really want to because it's way too emotional for me. But I think it's what God would have us to do. Jude, and look at verse number 2. Verse number 22. Verse number 22, I'm sure a verse that we all know. The Bible says, and of some having, and some have compassion, making a difference. Let's go ahead and pray, and see if we can get through this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. And Father, thank you for these folks that have come out to hear from you. Father, I pray that they would hear from you and not from me. And God, that you would challenge them in a way that's right for each and every one of them. Father, thank you for challenging me. And Father, thank you for what you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen. The first thing that we're going to have to realize, that we're going to have to understand, that we're going to have to embrace in this journey, as you would, is that if we're going to make a difference, we're going to have compassion. Now, compassion is one of those things that is going to cost you. Because to have a difference, you've got to do something. You know, we see things and, you know, we can be sad or we can get a little emotional and be like, aww, right? We can scroll through our phone and see something and be like, aww, and then keep scrolling. You guys probably don't do that, though. Maybe you do. Right? That's not compassion. All right? Compassion is when you see something and then you determine in your heart or you determine in your actions that you're going to do something about it. And then you do something about it and you make a difference. You see, the Christian life is something where God has called us as Christians to make a difference. We are to make a difference. We are to be, we are to follow in Christ's example in making a difference. Christ came to this world, died on the cross to make a difference. I get to go to heaven because Christ made a difference. I have a King James Bible because God gave us that and some people made a difference. Some people were willing to be used of Him, right? And they made a difference today that makes a difference in my life. So as we look at our own lives and we look at 2025 and we endeavor to go forward, we're going to have to decide whether as a church, how do we want to look? Now, it's exciting. I was talking with Pastor last night and again this morning. This is just your second Sunday back in the auditorium. You know, we just roll in 3 years later or 4 years later. It's like, oh, yeah, everything's the same. But you guys have been through a few things trying to get back in here. And some things are brightened and freshened and some nice things. Well, that's nice. That's fantastic. There's a difference there. And in this next year, what difference is going to be evident in your life? What difference is there going to be in the church, the personality of the church? You know, churches have a personality, don't they? And what is this church going to look like this time next year? Are we going to be the same? Are we going to be better? Are we going to be worse? Are we going to throw out the King James Bible and take something else? Are we going to sacrifice our stand in music or whatever else and decide to go a different direction? Well, the right answer is no. No, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to look at Pastor, just in case. He's like, oh, we're going to make some changes. No, he wouldn't do that. Right? We want the church to look better. More Christ-like. We want the personality. We want the attitude. We want all those things of the church to look better next year than it does this year. Which means you're going to have to look better than you did last year. Right? Because we make up the church. The church is not something that is over there that we come into and then leave. Right? We are the church. Right? Yes. So that means if the church is going to change, that means we have to change. That means we're going to have to open up our eyes and we're going to have to realize that what we do makes a difference. Now, the greatest example of this that I can possibly show you, the biblical example, is Abraham. Great man of faith, right? Yes, it's not a trap, it's okay. Great man of faith. He made some mistakes, though, didn't he? Did Abraham make some mistakes? Can you think of any mistakes that maybe Abraham made that affect us today? Any problems over in that Middle East area that maybe could have been caused by some mistakes that Abraham made? Yes. Abraham made some mistakes that affect us today. Now, I'm not beating on Abraham. What I'm trying to tell you is there's decisions that you make that will reflect into eternity. We are 4,000 years or so from Abraham. And today we can look at it and say, this is a direct result of that decision that he made. Billions of dollars are spent today because of a mistake that Abraham made. Thousands of lives are lost because of a decision Abraham made. A bad decision. A lack of faith. So when I look at that, I think, well, I'm just Chad. I'm nobody special. So my decisions don't really make a difference. How is Abraham any different than me? God used Abraham. That's why Abraham is special. So if I make the right decisions, God can use me. If I make the wrong decisions, that could echo, if the Lord tarries, which, wow, thousands of years from now, could have an effect on the world. Think about that. The decisions that you and I make today affect. Now, I don't like to think about this. I genuinely don't. But I'm not a Calvinist. Right? We're not Calvinists. Right? We're not. Please say we're not. We're not. Amen. We're Bible believers. We're not Calvinists. That means if I make a wrong mistake, if I make a wrong decision, God's just going to fix it and it won't matter. Is that right? If I decide to quit New Guinea today and I don't go back, do you believe that there are people that will die and go to hell because I don't go back? Do you believe that? I believe that. That's what gets me up in the morning. There are people in New Guinea that if I don't get back, will die and go to hell. You say, wow, Chad, well, you're putting a lot on yourself. No, I'm not putting anything on myself. That's what God told me. That's what the Bible says. So if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to have some compassion, we're going to have to open up our eyes and we're going to have to look around and decide that what we see is going to have an effect on us. And we're going to have to look as God looks, and we have to see as God sees, and we have to see that people that die without the gospel, people that die without salvation, are going to go to hell. And if we don't do what we're supposed to do, now I'm kind of jaded. I think everybody should be missionaries in New Guinea. I just told Brother Russell, I said, when are you going to give up Mexico and come to New Guinea? Forget Mexico. Well, he can't forget Mexico because that's what God's given him. But you see, we're going to have to look and say, I can make a difference. You see, we hide behind this attitude of I'm nobody special. I don't. What I do doesn't really matter. Somebody else can do that. Other people are more important. They know their Bible better. Someone else. No. The reason why they know their Bible better is because they use it. The people that just study and don't use it, they don't know their Bible. They just think they do. Use it, and you'll get to know it. You'll get to know it in a way, you know, you can find somebody on YouTube that can tell you all about something. Man, they can just tell you every little bit about it. And I've done this. And then they pick it up and they hold it in their hand and you go, that's the first time that guy's ever held that. He read 4 books, watched 3 other YouTube videos, and now he's making his own and telling me about this. But the way he holds it, he doesn't know it. You know what I'm saying? But if you use it and you hold it and you intimately know that tool, man, you'll know it. You'll know it. You'll know when to use it, how to use it. Those are the people that know their Bible, the ones that use it. I don't know my Bible. Well, use it. Stumble through it. It's okay. You say, well, man, that then people will, oh, they don't know their Bible well enough to know that you don't know it. It's true. Folks, none of us are anything special until we give our life, as we talked about in Sunday school, to God as a sacrifice. The sheep, that lamb, is nothing special in the pasture. But when it's laid on that altar, it becomes a sweet-smelling savor. There's nothing special about that lamb in the field. But when it gets put on that altar, that's when it becomes a sweet-smelling offering to the Lord. So we need to realize, and we need to have a desire, we need to have our wanter changed, and we need to want what God wants. And what God wants us for our lives is for us to make a difference. You know, that's all the world wants. The world wants to make a difference. You watch how they sell stuff on TV. You watch how people talk. People just want to make a difference. They want to feel good. And one way that you can feel good about yourself is if you do something for someone else and then you can feel good. The world craves that. And God has given us the ultimate way to make a difference. To change a course of someone's life. Think about the Apostle Paul. The path that he was on. And then one day he met Jesus. And his path was changed. And do we have an effect from Paul's decision today? Yeah, I think we do. He affects us today. Those decisions. So folks, we're going to have to open our eyes and we're going to have to decide to make a difference. We're going to have to let God open our eyes to the world. And not as something to envy, not as something to say, wow, we wish we had that, and if I work harder, I could get that. No. So that we might make a difference. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Folks, you have to understand, the world has nothing for you. The world has nothing for you. You have everything in Christ. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse number 38. Well, verse number 36. Here's Christ. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Folks, firstly, we're going to have compassion. And then next, we're going to have to, as God did, as he asked us. You see, he saw them and he had compassion. He understood the doors were open. He understood the field was ripe unto harvest. He said, pray ye. This is Christ telling us to pray ye that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. We've got to have a mind that goes beyond, God, get me out of this trouble. God, this is a really bad situation, and I need out. Who has a situation that you want out of today? Anybody? I have one. I want out. I want out of it. And when I pray, God, get me out of this. But you know what? There's a couple different kinds of those situations. Some of them, it's our own stupidity that we got involved with it anyways, right? Would we all agree? There's some problems in our life that is our own stupidity, right? God was like, I really didn't want that for you, but that's on you. All right, well, he still can help you with that. That's not a problem. He can. And then there's things that God gives us, right? To strengthen us, to make us more Christ-like. Should we really pray that God would get us out of those things? If God's trying to use that in our life to make us better, should we really waste time praying that God would get rid of them? That's a question. I'm still going to pray that way. But I'm asking, should we? Or should we spend our time praying for other things? Like, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Paul prays for health. Paul prays for the gospel to have free course. But what did Christ tell us to pray for? Pray for laborers. You know, we talk about pray for your enemy. If you pray for your enemy, it's hard for him to, you know, it's hard to wish bad things on the guy you're praying for. Well, in the same way, when you're praying for that God would send forth laborers, you can't pray that prayer more than a few times without a little self-examination. You know what I'm talking about? God, should I be a laborer? You know, we talk about it and I'm saying God needs more laborers in New Guinea. And he does. And we want to talk about coming to New Guinea. Let's talk. Into the night. Into tomorrow. Let's talk. But God needs laborers tomorrow at the grocery store. You see, that's where it starts. It starts today. It starts in our personal life. It starts now. We pray that God would do something and send some more to the mission field. We need to, parents, we need to be praying that God might see fit to use one of our children in the ministry. Man, that should be our greatest desire as parents, to see our children in the ministry. You say, well, you know, I just think God ought to call them, and, you know, I don't think, you don't believe that. Because if you had an opportunity to become a doctor and make lots of money, you wouldn't be like, well, whatever he wants to do. Right? We'd be like, hey, you know, how can we help this out? Parents want to send their kids to the mission field, and I was just talking on Christmas Day. There's a young man, 16, wants to come see us, and Grandma said, over my dead body will he come visit you. She's a Christian. Folks, what kind of Christianity is that? Number one, we need to have compassion. We need to be willing to make a difference. Number two, we need to be praying. You know, there's some places, some of you cannot come to New Guinea. You can't. It might be physically impossible for you to come to New Guinea. Oh, but I would ask that you would pray every day that God would send someone. We need to pray. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The crazy chapter. All these crazy people that did amazing things that we hold in such high esteem that we would never want to be like because it costs something. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, if we're going to make a difference in this world for the good, for the gospel's sake, then we're going to have to find some faith. The substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. So that means I'm going to take a step of faith, right? We talked about that in Sunday school. I'm going to take a step of faith because I hope for something, right? I hope that this is the direction God wants me to go because I can't see where I'm putting my foot. But I believe that God has pointed me this direction and I'm going to take this step of faith. Right? The substance of things hoped for. Folks, what are you hoping for? What's your hope? Is your hope for the souls of men and women? Is the hope for your children? What is your hope? Where does your hope lie? Does your hope lie in a Republican president? I hope not. Is your hope that maybe as conservatives we can really turn this thing around? For what end? To what end? It's a corrupt government. Like every other government before it. And everyone after it. Until the one that's coming. That will not be corrupt. It has no hope. You see, the devil, he puts all kinds of things for us to put faith in and hope for and desire. Things that on the surface are not bad. They're not sin. Right? It's not a sin. But what the sin is when you hope for something and it distracts you from what God would have you to hope for. Because if you're so wrapped up in saving America, then you forget to save souls. Well, yeah, but if we save America, then the gospel will have... No, the gospel's going to have free course if we as Christians exercise our freedom to give the gospel. Then it will have free course. Because the gospel doesn't care what the law says. Read your Bible. The people there, they didn't care what the law said either. They just gave the gospel. They did what God told them to do. And then they got thrown in the lion's den. And they came back out. But some of them didn't. Fox's Book of Martyrs, right? They did what God told them to do, right? And they died. You see, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that's reasonable. We say that doesn't make sense. But God said that's how the job gets done. But we're over here trying to Dave Ramsey it. You can't Dave Ramsey the gospel, folks. It won't work. I wasn't supposed to say that name. Sorry about that. I tried hard in Sunday school not to. Faith. Well, they'll talk all day long and tell me that I'm stupid, but I read Hebrews chapter 11. And Abraham was stupid, according to the world. Abel was stupid according to the world. Enoch was stupid. Noah. Have you seen Noah's investment plan? We're building a boat, folks. I don't know who's paying for it, but we're building a boat. That didn't make any sense to the world. Because you see, they didn't see the rain, nor had they ever seen it. And what the Bible says at the end here in this little book called Revelation, the world has never seen. But God showed us. Why? So we could make a difference. Why? So we could pray that the Lord would send forth harvest, our laborers into the harvest, so we would hope for something different than what the world hopes for. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. So you may see now, God doesn't, when he talks to me, he doesn't usually alliterate. Ephesians chapter 6. We've got, you've got some good things here. You've got the armor. Verse 13, wherefore taking to the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, when? In the evil day. Having done all what? To stand. Folks, we're going to have to get some determination in our life that just says, I don't care. I'm going to stand. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do this because this is what God told me to do. Well, it doesn't make sense. You're right, it doesn't. But this is what God said to do, so this is what I'm going to do. Well, you might die. That's true. Isn't that okay? Yeah. Folks, is that okay? Yeah. Are we all going to die? Yeah. Unless the bugle is blown, we're all going to die. Yeah. I would much rather die in the fight. I would much rather die right smack in the middle of what God wants me to do. Well, yeah, but you know, folks, we're going to have to get some determination. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what America normalcy is. What I care about is what the Word of God says to do. What the Word of God says is important. Because this life is so short. We have such a limited, tiny, tiny window to make a difference for eternity. You see, people in this life are, man, they're trying to raise their kids to get the best education possible so they can get the best job, so they can get a nice house and a nice car that starts every time you turn the key or push the button. So they can retire, have fun, and then die. And they had money, and you know, they didn't need anything. They saved right, and they did everything the way it was supposed to do, and they lived a good life. And there's 80 years, 90 years, and the world will step back and say, wow, that guy was successful. Look at that. Man, he had a great education. He had a great marriage. He left money to his kids. His kids went to the best schools. Man, he retired at 50. Had money saved away. Lived in a nice house. Died a good death. To what end? What difference did that man make? Well, Abraham left his family because God said, take a walk. And he said, God, I don't know where we're going. He's like, don't worry about it. Let's go. Well, God, that's not my area up there. This is my area down here. Those are not my people. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Just take a walk. Well, God, that doesn't make sense because my whole family's here. That's all right. Just keep walking. Where am I going? Well, I'll let you know when you get there. Am I going to have anything when I get there? He didn't know what was going on. He just said, go. And Abraham made a great difference for the good. And I want to make a difference for good. But the times when Abraham made the wrong decision was when he wasn't of that mindset that we just read. Having done all, stand. When he went to Egypt, why? There's a famine. Some people got hungry. Oh, we don't want to die. We got to feed the family. Got to make a living. No, God said, stay there. But he went down to Israel, or down to Egypt, made some bad decisions, had to come back to Bethel. Time lost. Time lost. His faith was weakened, made some bad decisions. Now we have the Middle East. We also have Israel, because he trusted God. Folks, we're not going to make all the right decisions. We're going to make some stupid decisions. But let's make some stupid decisions from the world's eyes. And put our faith and trust in God. And don't do it whimsically. Be on the right track. Don't just make decisions flippantly. Get God's desire, get God's hope on the matter, and then just do it. And you may die. That's on the table. But that's okay. Because it's the gospel. There's nothing about the Christian life that says the American dream is included in the Christian life. We're in a fight for the souls of men. This is not vacation. This is the little time where we can fight. This little bit of 70 to 100 years or however long we get to be here is our time to do the job. Vacation is later. Right? Heaven. Have you read in heaven? Heaven is coming. Forget the cruise. I like a cruise. And it's good food and, oh, there's good stuff. Vacation's fun. But vacation is later. Now is the time where we get to work. We get to make a difference for eternity. What we do today, the decisions we make today, we'll be able to, when we get to heaven, if you're saved here this morning, when you get to heaven, the decisions you make today, you'll be able to turn around and say, that person got the gospel because I came. Trevor, let's show this, let's do this little thing. It's 12 o'clock right now, so it's time to be out. You guys got just a few more minutes in you? Pastor, you got a couple minutes? Not a lot, just a few minutes. Go ahead and let's drop the screen. Pull that up real quick. Now, remember I said this is the message that God gave me. So here's where we're going with this. I was ready to spend the next 3 or 4 years, 2 or 3 years, whatever, with the ministries that God's given me and just finalize some of those. Man, get them polished up. But God said, no. Here's why. Here's the beautiful country of Papua New Guinea. Now, this it's divided right here, Papua New Guinea. This is part of Indonesia. And this is right here where we minister. Trevor, go ahead and zoom in right there. Right there. So this is where all that ministry happens. There's about 80,000 people right here. There's about 200 villages. We've got about 50 churches. Here's our mission station. Well, that's Pangaea. Here's our mission station right there. That's our mission station. There's the church and part of the school. There's a new school building here, the print shop, some dormitories for Bible college, the radio station. Here's some of the teachers' houses, some gardens for the teachers. There's my little heifer. Here's my house. All that ministry that you saw in the video, most of it happens from there. Okay, let's go ahead and zoom out. So we can see Yalibu. Here's Yalibu. We drive through this to get to town. It's about 30, 40 minutes drive. That new church plant that we have is right here. The church plant that my son Derek is doing is right here. So about a year ago, I was really tired. And I just wanted to kind of get away for a couple days. We had 3 days where I didn't have anything scheduled. So I got all the guys together. I said, guys, let's take a drive. So we took 3 vehicles and we drove up to Yalibu through Kagawa. All these places. This is one of those areas that needs the gospel. There's about 60,000 people here. Drove down this road. That's good right there, son. Crossed the bridge into Arave. This is Arave. I put up a tent there in Arave in 2018. 55 people got saved. I haven't been back since. Because there's nobody to go. All these villages are there. They need the gospel. We just drove, we kept going down. Go ahead and zoom out. Zoom out a little bit further. What we wanted to do is we wanted to just go. There's a big waterfall in a place called Wasi Falls. If you go on Google Earth, you can see it. It's these waterfalls right here. I didn't know if we could get there or not. The road, they had just opened up a new road. The mining company did. They said you can get there. I was like, let's try. So that's what it was. It was nothing spiritual. I wish I could tell you it was, but it wasn't. But, you know, God uses that kind of stuff, right? And so we drove, and we came up this road and came and parked the truck right here. We didn't know what to expect. There's some people in this village. Just right there, son, that's good. Some people in this village. And I said, hey, we want to go see the waterfall. And they said, oh, yeah, people come here to see the waterfall. We jumped in a canoe, and we went down the river. Go down the river a little bit, Trev. And where did we get to? We got to, I think, right here. And do you guys know that waterfalls, the water falls down? And so if you're going down to see the waterfall, you have to go down. And then after you've enjoyed all that, then you have to go up. You may have noticed I'm a little bit of a fat guy. So I decided I wasn't going to go down any further. The boys all went down. They saw beautiful waterfalls, huge waterfalls. But I sat here for 3 hours looking at this waterfall, watching the river. And man, God just was tearing me up. And I didn't know why. I honestly didn't know why. Let's go up river, Trev. We got back. The people in this village, When we're sitting in that little dugout canoe, and I saw these probably 300 people standing on the bank, there's probably 1,000 people in this village. It reminded me of what the people in Pengia, where our mission station is, what that looked like 40 years ago. You can see the devil on them. They're just... I don't know any other way to put it. It's bad.